Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew, Miles Sebastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian. Not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, Nicole, I didn't talk too much about your other careers, your assistant directing, and you're now working on America's Got Talent. So everybody's been emailing me what's happening with Nicole's career, so you could just fill us in what you've been doing all week.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's funny because, honestly, guys, what I'm doing right now is I'm manifesting something new for myself. You know, I keep thinking that I want to be, you know, in a different place, and even in a field that I've got very, very minimal experience in, because, you know, I did not, you know, I took a couple of broadcasting classes in college, but I never actually went for radio and television in college, you know. So, I mean, and that's where I want to be right now. So, you know, I mean, I'm literally manifesting it, and every time I turn around, there seems to be another opportunity, you know, for me to get closer and closer to you know, my overall goal. So this week I was at, you know, and last week, you know, for a couple days, I was at America's Got Talent, and, of course, we were, like, running around like crazy. It was the debut of the show, you know, with their whole big red carpet now that they've come to New York from Vegas, you know. So we really, really had a great, great time. I met, you know, like, you know, the judges, and, you know, they're really such wonderful and great people, and, you know, I've had a great time with the people that I'm working with. So it really is a lot of fun. I'm having a great time.
Wow. Well, it sounds exciting, very exciting, and we can't wait to see everything that you're going to be manifesting, because this is really your year.
I'm
a quick pull of the
cards
for you. Things look good for you. You know, nothing's bad in your cards. Everything really looks wonderful for you.
Well, you know, it's Cindy, like, my whole thing, and this is what a lot of people don't understand when they get their cards read and when they see you, is that your cards could say that everything is absolutely wonderful and this and that, but ultimately, you're in control of that. You know, if you psych yourself out or you talk yourself out of things and you second-guess yourself and you don't follow the path that you're being put on, you know what? You're going to undo everything that those cards say. So that's one of the very, very hard lessons that I've learned over the last few years with you, Cindy, is that I have to stop, you know, being my own worst enemy. So that's really what I'm concentrating on now, too, and obviously it's really work.
I need to hear that from you, because I try to explain to people, in particular, I had one client this week, and I never want to be the psychic 911. When people are in the middle of their whole disasters of life, that don't call me, because I'm not being caught in the middle of that mess. You call me before you screw up, you call me after you screw up, and I'll help you learn the lessons. But so usually my spirit guides will say, this person wants to be squeezed in for a reading. You got 11 readings today. If we wanted you to squeeze her in, you'd have time. So I didn't listen, and I squeezed this woman in, and she's in the middle of, you know, this relationship drama. And meanwhile, she didn't listen to one thing that I told her to do.
Yep.
And then everything went wrong, and she said, well, the card said this. I said, no, the card didn't say that. The card said, do what I'm telling you to do. Call him. Don't, while waiting for him to call me. He's not going to call you. Call him, or you're going to... She didn't do one thing, and then I'm in the midst of, like, trying to explain to people that you don't listen to what's being said in the middle of your catastrophes. You want to do what you want to do, and then you want to blame me that, well, we're supposed to be together. How
it
are you
didn't
be
come
together
true.
When,
it didn't come true.
It didn't come true, but you didn't listen to what I told you. I kept telling you, you have to call him. But you said maybe he'll call me. I said, yeah, maybe, but you have to call him. What didn't you now when he doesn't call her for 2 weeks, she's wondering, well, nobody said he was going to call you. People did say you have to call him. You know,
yeah,
and it just is one of those things. When people get readings, you have to listen to the guidance. Whether you like it, what's being said or not, it's not that is not the question. It's if you don't want to listen to what divine guidance is telling you, then don't ask for divine guidance.
Exactly.
You know, so,
Cindy. You know, I mean, how many times over the course of the last few years have I either A, psyched myself out, or B, you know, not followed directions completely where things started to happen and then they fell apart at the very end?
Right. And,
I mean,
and
think
of
about
course,
it. How many times have I done that to myself?
And at least you know, you don't call me up and say, but you said, and I go, no, I didn't say.
Oh, no.
The cards are the ideal. In the ideal world, if you follow, what should happen?
You know what? The way that I look at it, Cindy, it's like this, okay? Like, in a matter of speaking, you know, let's just take you and a doctor, for example, okay? If a doctor looks at somebody and says, you know what, you're in poor health. You've got bad cholesterol. You've got to exercise, and you know you need to watch your sugar intake. Okay, if a doctor tells you to do that, okay, and says at the very end of all of those three things, now if you do that, you are going to be skinny, you are going to have a lot of energy, and you are going to be in 100 times better health. If you go home with that information and continue to eat all of the wrong things, continue not exercising, continue not doing those things, you cannot say, but the doctor said I was going to be skinny and have a lot of energy. You didn't do a thing that the doctor said to do. You know, so, and you can't follow that halfway and say, but the doctor said, well, if you did everything, then it probably would have happened. But if you only do it half-assed, you're going to get half-assed results.
Exactly, and
you know,
that's why I said nothing is written in stone because it is a free will universe, and there's many times that I predicted even recently to a woman that her son was going to get a DWI because he's been driving under the influence, and this is pretty serious, and you had better call him on it. Well, you know, he listened for about 2 weeks, and the result was a disastrous accident 2 weeks ago, and I'm not even going to name it because it's pretty public, and, of course, charged with driving under the influence, but it was supposed to be just a DUI, but of course he was speeding and a thousand other things, so you know, thank God he's okay, but the point is you know, giving people and him being good for 2 weeks and then driving under the influence 2 weeks later, you
exactly.
know, I wasn't
that,
trying
you know,
to predict that, I was trying to prevent that.
Exactly.
I was trying to prevent that. And, you know, that's why I said it's just as frustrating for me to see people's relationships not going well because they're not listening. I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, people have to really listen. If you're told to call a person, get your pride out of the way. However he responds or she responds is not your responsibility. You've done what's karmically correct. If they mess it up, you'll be granted another soulmate. Your life will move on. But if you don't make that call, the universe is going to say, you don't really want a higher love. You're not acting like a higher love. You know, maybe you just want this person to do what you want them to do, but that's not how the world works. So you're responsible for your actions.
Exactly.
And that's what we try to teach here. Now, Laura, if you remember, called in last week, and she's the 561 number.
Yes, I got it. Yep.
Okay. And then the one above her, the 516, is also someone who we need to speak to because these are people that have called in and haven't been able to hear. So we're going to start first with Laura.
Okay.
Because, remember, she was waiting so long last week. So.
Oh, yeah. No. And then I definitely remember her. So, okay. So
she wanted something about
put...
her son's health, her boyfriend, and her job was what you had written down last week when you screened her. So I remember I wrote down what you wrote down. Okay,
excellent. So, all right, so we're going to go right into Laura, and then I'll screen the next 516 for you, okay?
Terrific.
All right. Hello, Laura, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Laura. Thanks for reminding me with your email, but I did write it down right on my notes for tonight, but I was like, I love when people remind me, just in case.
I just want to thank you for taking my call.
Oh, you know, we know you were waiting a long time, and it's funny because... You know, your questions are really not about Laura so much, your son's health, you know, something about your boyfriend and about your job. It's really about Laura being responsible and Laura caring about others. So I love your concerns. How old is your son that you're worried about?
He's 21, and he has some health issues. I'm not sure what doctor to take him to, or they really don't know what's causing it.
Now, that doesn't surprise me, because almost every disease, nobody knows what causes it. They have, like, a lot of theories and speculations.
True.
But most of the time, illness has a very strong mind-body connection. And this sort of nebulous illnesses can sometimes be in a relatively healthy person who has a lot of stress and is sort of beating themselves up over certain situations,
mm-hmm.
maybe punishing themselves for something they've done or for something they thought they could have done better. Do you know what stresses were in your son's life before the illness manifested?
Yeah, oh, there was a lot of stress.
Okay, so we're going to first and foremost say the cause of his illness is the stress he's under.
Okay.
For instance, all autoimmune disorders have a very strong element of anger turned inward and being mad at ourselves, beating ourselves up for something we could have, would have, should have done, or for some guilt or something we think we could have done better. And so you, more than anything, he needs to perhaps speak to you about what's happened, realize how, you know, his responsibility or what wasn't his responsibility, because autoimmune disorders can get worse or they can really go into remission. And nobody knows why they, you know, doctors say, I don't know why you went into remission. Yeah, it's usually because you've healed whatever brought it on.
Okay.
So, you know, mostly he's a healthy guy. That's what I'm seeing here.
Yeah, I think for the most part, except for this, which, but he goes on with his life and, you know.
Because he's a hardworking guy, but
when I was with his dad, which I'm not anymore, there was some stresses and things, so I don't know if that contributed to it.
Well, you know, sometimes being in an unhappy family situation, especially as a child, you know, I remember watching my parents' war zone. Oftentimes, you know, we would feel bad for my mom. We would see her as the victim. We would always want to, like, rescue her or make it better. So that puts a lot of strain on a person, you know, a young person when a marriage is, like, falling apart. Maybe
right.
He has some guilt. Children always have guilt. Maybe if I were good, my parents wouldn't be fighting. Maybe if I didn't break this and, they, you know, the refrigerator, and they wouldn't be under stress at this moment. Children tend to wonder what they've done to make the situation worse. And sometimes if they are teenagers and have gotten into trouble or different things, it can make it even worse. But, you know, right now he's, you know, has a lot of mixed feelings about the divorce. Are you aware of that?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, even though he knows it's for the best.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't, you know, it's still, you know, he still has a little bit of mixed feelings. So maybe you need to talk to him about that.
Okay.
But his health looks like it will get better when he deals with the stresses that are bringing it on. It's
okay.
Not that autoimmune disorders aren't real diseases, by the way. It just means that relatively healthy people have very strong immune systems. So when they're under stress, their immune system just kicks in and then just attacks itself.
Right,
so,
that's what's happening, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we just want to get his immune system back, like, you know, down to normal. Again, lupus, MS, all of those things are autoimmune disorders, have some elements of that. So does, you know, so many diseases. So, you know, if that looks better. Now, with your boyfriend, how long have you been with him?
Okay. That's the thing. I got through to you one time, but it was like at the end of the show, and you said he was cheating on me. I've been with him probably like 4.5 years, and we live together 1 year straight now, full. We lived together before, but I moved out a few times and came back. But now we've been together one full whole year.
And how are you feeling about him?
For the most part, okay. I think he loves me. I think he does have a wandering eye, and he does like to flirt. I don't think he's, like, cheating as far as sleeping with other people. The first time I moved out is because I saw him online again.
Because he was doing the chat rooming thing?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Now, when Nicole's been with me a long time, probably about 7 years, and we a long time ago did a radio show on what's cheating. Mm-hmm. Now, if your partner thinks talking to other people on, you know, chat rooming is cheating, then it is. Does he know that you don't approve of that?
Yes, and I think he stopped, but also it's because I quit my job in January, and I'm here, so there's not much he can do. I'm here all the time.
Okay, and again, do you want to be the police dog over him?
No, see, that's the thing. I don't want to do that because every time I leave, I think he's going on it, and he had to go to work for away for work one time, and I checked his computer, and there was a woman hidden somewhere in another folder like that, you know. So I don't know if it's an obsession of his or I don't know.
Okay, I have a new term for this. I call it the Spitzerweiners. You know, you don't live in New York, but we have Elliot Spitzer. Do you know who he
is?
Yes.
Well, I'm originally from New Jersey.
Okay, and we have you know, Andrew Weiner running for mayor now.
Yes, I've heard.
And I call these men who, like, you know, get caught texting, sexting, and they never keep getting caught, the Spitzerweiners. You know, they are men that, you know, can we fix them? I don't know. But usually not very much, because the kind of texting and sexting of women and chatting, it becomes an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
It becomes a very hard addiction to cure. It's a form of sex addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And without treatment for sex addiction, and there's a lot of therapists who don't believe sex addiction exists, so of course you go to a therapist and the therapist tells you you're nuts. There's nothing wrong with what he is doing. But there, it is a real, you know, mental illness that's very hard to overcome. What you didn't learn from your husband, unfortunately, the next man who's brought usually is more of the same sort of narcissistic, judgmental man that we can't fix. That,
mm-hmm.
you know, are you still trying to fix people? Because, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, that's what it seems like. And I want someone I don't just, who gets it and just wants to, and I don't have to, because I'm the type, I will go through the phone, I will go through the computer, and I don't really want to live like that.
No, thank you, but I do advise, if you read my book, Grant Me a Higher Love, I talk about once you have to spy on your mate, the relationship's over, but I'm not saying you shouldn't spy, because in this day and age of venereal diseases, you better know if your husband's cheating, especially if he's going to transgenders or transsexuals where you could get AIDS or HIV, you know, realize that it's, you know, it's self-preservation to check up on these things. And, you know, in terms of you, what was your issue with your husband?
Oh, when you left him?
There
was no communication, no sex, no nothing. There was nothing.
And what was he doing for sex, your husband?
I don't know.
Okay, because probably what he was doing was porn or masturbation with the porn, and maybe this man has a similar addiction, and probably what you didn't see with your husband is trying to be revealed here. A man who doesn't want sex with you has got to have a reason, and we're always thinking, well, maybe it's me, maybe I'm not pretty enough, maybe he's got no testosterone, whatever, but sometimes they are doing other things, and
okay.
I think with this man, your blinders have got to come off. He's not fixable, according to these cards. And part of it is because he doesn't think he's doing anything wrong. He's highly narcissistic and manipulative. He's sneaky, and he's judgmental. He's going to judge you that you're wrong checking up on him. And he's going to twist and turn everything.
That's what he does.
Does your son live in the household with this man?
No, my sons live with their dad.
Okay, good, because this isn't so healthy for him to be seeing either.
I've never introduced my kids to him. And he gets upset about that, but it's like, I don't know if they're ready for that. I don't know.
Until you fix it, maybe you shouldn't. But if your son's living with your husband and he has an autoimmune disorder, he may be having a lot of stress in the house.
Yeah, I think he is from that, too, living with him, because he's also a stressful person to live with.
Right, so you might want to, you know, address the fact that he has a lot of stress, and maybe, I don't know if he could come live with you somewhere, but you would have to probably not be living with the man you're living now. So
right.
So, again,
so this guy wants to get married.
I wouldn't marry him if I were you, because if you marry him, you know, you're going to really then be in the same boat you were with your husband, because this man's already not on great behavior and you're not married.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because he tells you he wants to marry, you're believing, well, that means he doesn't, you know, he's going to be good. No. Plenty of men, you know, are like the Andrew Wieners. They want their wives and they want a woman. They want their cake and eat it too.
Yeah.
He's a cake and eat it too kind of guy. He's never been loyal to any woman. I don't know if you know any of his exes, but if you were ever to get on a phone call with one of them,
mm-hmm.
he's never been loyal to anybody.
Okay.
And as far as your job, are you looking for one? Is that what you're trying to do?
I was looking for a while. I had stopped, and I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to work anymore. I don't know if I'm going to find anything. I want to, but I kind of get, you know, I was looking like really gung-ho at first.
Well, how old are you?
I'm going to be 53 Sunday.
Okay, you're way too young not to work, because we can live to be 100. And
right.
If you're not going to work, then you're going to end up marrying this man because you're going to think he's going to take care of you.
Yeah.
And right now, because you're not able to support yourself, and he knows that, he can kind of get away with murder because there's nothing you could do.
Yeah,
I would advise you to not talk negatively that there's no work. There's no shortage of work on this planet.
Okay.
Find something you can do and do it. Support yourself. Don't think, you know, put a band-aid on a carcinoma. If I marry him, then I don't have to worry about money. That may or may not be true, because God calls women on their behaviors now. You know, they could strike this man with a stroke, and you have to take care of him for the next 20 years, and he's not taking care of you. So don't assume he would take care of you. Could you go back to school to learn something, or just train yourself to do something new?
Maybe. I don't know. I hope I have that kind of oomph left, but I don't know.
But you're young. You have to understand is stop thinking that 53 is old.
Okay.
It's young. I mean, I'm 60. I plan on working another 1,000 years if I have to. I mean, really, it's very important for people to stop thinking they're old at 53. If we're going to live to be 100, how are you going to support yourself for 47 more years?
Right.
I mean, you have to put some money aside. These are your good earning years. And even getting out there in the world working, you could perhaps meet some new friends, new people, maybe a really nice guy. Right now, you can't really address the man on his behaviors because you have nowhere to go.
That's true, yes.
And he knows it, too.
Yes.
Don't think for one minute he doesn't know it. And, you know, if you had money, I want you to think, if you had $100,000 dropped in your lap today,
mm-hmm.
would you move out from him?
Yes.
Okay. And that's the answer. The answer is you're staying for him for money. You're staying with a man who, you know, is a liar. And for you, it's believing in yourself a little more.
Okay.
Believing that you're worthy and, you know, sort of changing your mindset and you know, people whose lives change for the positive stop with victim consciousness. They stop feeling I'm a victim of this man or that man or this life or this economy, and they just rise above it.
Okay.
Try rising above it because you have very good cards for the future, but it depends on you making some changes and just have some courage. You have a grandmother who passed away. Do you remember her, by the way?
I have two, so I don't know.
This is your mom's mom.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And she's saying when you were a little girl, you had a lot of courage. Where's your courage?
Okay.
And positive things are in your cards, but get some of your blinders off. Realize if you marry him, you're not that much better off than you were with your husband. You might as well stay with him.
Yeah. You're right.
You know what I'm saying? What was that all about then? I hate to tell women, but the lesson usually is there's no knight in shining armor going to rescue us. And this man probably came 4.5 years ago like he was going to rescue you. But you could see now he's not going to rescue
anyone.
Well,
he has a wandering eye, and he didn't exactly want me. I was a little, you know, it's been a turbulent for you because there's always been other women in his, you know, life.
And understand that he has sex addiction. It's not a wandering eye. That's a nice term. Sex addiction is, it can lead anywhere. It can bring you venereal disease. You know, I mean, even with our politicians, when they think, well, it doesn't matter if they're sex addicts. I go, really? You know how easy it is to get someone like Andrew Wiener entrapped in a situation with a woman who you set him up with, and then you blackmail him to do what you need done? you know, in your, for your business and everything else. Sex addiction is a very bad addiction.
Okay. I think that's what it is. I think.
And it's relatively incurable right now because the only cure for it is no porn, no masturbation, just being with the woman you love, no cheating at all, no alcohol, no drugs. And they'd have to, you know, get off the internet and all of that. So
yeah, and that's what I said because I'm always here. I watch now, so it's, you know. And at work, do you think he's doing anything at work? I mean, because every time he works with some women, it's like he doesn't call. He doesn't.
Yeah, of course.
Mm. Okay.
Well, call in again and let us know what happens.
Yeah, actually, Cindy, I do want to have a private reading with you, and I want to ask you, where do I go? Do I go on the site, Grant Me a Higher Love, or do I email you at
email
that?
Me, and we'll set, and we'll, you let me know if you need day or evening appointment and how long a reading, and we'll, and then I'll set it up with you, and then you could pay online.
So just on your email, like write you again like
sure.
I did. Okay,
sure.
Great. Thank you
okay,
so, so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, now I see you have Jane on the line.
Nicole. Yes, I mm-hmm. do. I have Jane, and just for the other listeners out there, Jane is has called prior, okay, and her last reading was prior to a move that she had, but she was getting mixed messages in the cards. So basically, what she's more concerned with is because of those mixed messages, something's just not gelling right where she is right now, and she wants to know if she should come back to New York to finish up her work because that seems to feel right for her right now, but she's still unsure. So Cindy, hopefully you'll be able to shed some light on that topic.
Okay. Hi, Jane. You're on the air.
Hi, Cindy. Thanks for taking my call again.
Okay. There's no mixed messages in your cards. The mixed messages is that you're an OCD, and wherever it is, the grass is always greener. You're always, what if I did this? What if I did that? If only I did this? If only I did that? Wherever you are, you're looking back or you're looking forward.
Okay.
And the mixed messages are you have to stick your 2 feet somewhere and make it work.
Right.
And with New York, you were kind of complaining, there's nowhere to live, there's nothing, you know, I can't support myself, I can't do this. And in your mind, you know, going to Florida was going to be the answer, but you didn't have any work there.
Right.
If you come back to New York now, where are you going to live?
Either way, there's I'm not really living anywhere of, you know, I don't have a place of my own, and it's going to take time, and I also, you know, I don't have health benefits down here, and I have an interview tomorrow, but I don't know, it's going to be a total mystery as to what the job is and whether or not there's going to be an opportunity, but it feels like the timing is off. I think that this is the place to do it.
You think being in Florida is the place to do it?
Yeah, but I feel like the timing is a little bit off.
Okay, the timing being off how?
I feel like I feel compelled to finish out my work year, and I don't know why. I don't know if it's OCD. You said it is.
Your OCD is always, you know, second guess.
Yeah.
And the fact that you gave up your apartment, how are you going to come back and where are you going to live?
Yeah, I had
to
give
work,
up the apartment.
Where are you planning on living? Do you have money to get an apartment?
Well, I didn't have money before, and it's the same situation. You know, I have the same money I would have had, you know, if I would have found an apartment at that time. That apartment was very toxic, if you recall.
Yes, I remember you wanted to leave. There's no doubt.
Yeah, and it was my lease was up anyway, but it was really a tough place to live in general, and it was very toxic. And it, no matter how much I tried, there was nothing else available in my price range. And so there's a possibility there's a friend I could stay with for a little bit, but I don't want to do it permanently. I actually do want to come down here. I also don't want to impose on my friend who I'm living with down here, who's been very kind, even though she has her own issues, to let me stay with her. And I feel like I'm imposing.
Again, the problem with you is you don't know what you want. And again, with the universe, until we're clear, nothing
works.
And, you know, if you clearly wanted to stay in New York and made that, you know, somehow happen, that would be one thing. But now that you've moved to Florida and moving back is, you know, it's not that stressful. You don't own much to move back. And I'm not saying you shouldn't take I mean, I was surprised you were leaving New York when you had somewhat of a job here to go somewhere where you had no job. I mean, I personally would never move somewhere where I don't have a job.
Right. So I made a mistake, in other words.
I'm not sure that you made a mistake. I'm just, if you were in Florida, you knew you were going to have to take some time to find a job. So you're either going to have the patience there to find that job, which might take a month or two.
Yeah.
Can you live with that indecision or...
That's my decision to make then.
It's your decision to make whether if you come back to New York for the next 4 or 5 months to do your job, you have the issue of where to live. I mean, it's almost like you ran from New York because you didn't want to stay here because you don't know where you're going to live.
But, right.
But running to something where you knew that there was no job there.
Right.
So you said when you were going to move there that you would have some patience to find something.
Yeah.
So, you know, if your friend is happy with you staying there and you're looking, would be fine to stay there. But, again, there's either way you toss your cards, it's where do you want to be is what the universe is asking you.
Do you want to know something weird? I mean, I'm also at the appropriate age, but I'd like to be a snowbird. I'd like to be in both places.
No, I don't blame you. That's not that's something that you could do, but now
or
if you come back to New York to teach, it looks more like you're going to come back to New York to teach, in all honesty.
That's
what the cards look like. It looks like when you're not going to be able to sleep because you don't have a job. And that prospect of you not having a job in Florida for a few months is scaring you.
And I'm also laying down a lot of groundwork. Actually, I do have a little bit of part-time work for the month of August. I start on Friday. It's not enough to sustain me down here, but I'm laying down groundwork. I'm going on an interview tomorrow, but I think it's an exploratory type of interview. And I'm meeting as many people as I can because I really do think that this is where I would rather be long-term.
Well, right, and again, if you want to be there long term, then you have to commit to it.
Yeah, I think that what happened, what it is that there was no place for me to move. I mean, I really looked in my price range, and I have a friend. One of my friends she looked at one apartment for me but it wasn't really the right one. I just feel that if a couple of possibilities where I could stay for a few months or rent for short, you know, like a short-term lease. I just, for some reason, I'm feeling that I want to finish out my obligation, you know, to leave on good terms and, you know, also I need
again,
a medical
appointment.
Again,
that doesn't change that you're going to go back to Florida, but maybe, you know, I kept trying to advise you is can you get a job before you head there? And you keep saying, well, it's hard to find it, but kind of sending out resumes and maybe putting some money aside to fly there or go there so that you're not in this position. It's very hard for people to not see, you know, not have a job in front of them.
Exactly. And I didn't have enough income, even with my little part-time clients, because the rents are getting out of control on Long Island. They increase by the minute.
Right.
And, you know, ideally I would have my old apartment for a while longer, but you know the story with that.
Right.
You
well, know, this way, figure out if you're going to, you know, you need to meditate what's best for you, although with you, no matter where you are, you're never happy. That's an OCD thing.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to, if you're going back to New York, you're going to make it in your mind you're happy. No negative thoughts, no backtracking.
Right.
Go and be positive. Because the thing that sabotages the laws of attraction are negative thinking.
You have to stop
saying there's no good rentals, there's no this, because there are. There are good rentals. If you say there's not, then God's not going to give you one.
Okay.
So if you come back to New York, come with a positive mindset. I'm doing here. This is where I want to be. Give me a nice place to live. At this point, you know, you don't have much furniture, not anything. You've got rid of everything, correct?
I got rid of everything. You know that, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, maybe you could rent a room in someone's nice house that for the few months that's furnished again. You're not going to be able to live in an ideal space if you have no money.
Right.
So your goal has to be making money.
Yeah, and that's what's been eluding me, maybe because of my thoughts. I don't know.
Because of your negativity.
Not deliberately, though.
No. Oh, no, no, no. No. You're by nature a positive person. The funny part about it is the OCD is a very negative mindset. It's always, what if something bad happens? It's never, what if I win the lotto? It's always, what if I never get a job? What if I? It's funny how it's really negative. And believe me, if I'm reaming you hard, I know what it is to be an OCD. Believe me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's always been part of my mindset, but I've worked very hard to practice behavior modification and try to have positive thoughts. And I've noticed when that happened, my whole life changed.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
if you could just go and be a stoic, wherever you're going to be living.
Yeah.
And it's not for forever. Try to make the best of it. Try to, you know, tell God I want a nice space that's quiet and feels like my own.
Did you say the card said it was, if I go back, it would be temporary, it would be just to finish up my loose ends?
It looks like you're going to probably go back to Florida anyway.
Yeah.
But you know, Nicole, are you listening? Because sometimes Nicole has good advice.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Nicole, what would you advise her?
What would I advise Jane?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really want me to answer that question, Cindy?
Yeah, because she'll because sometimes Nicole is like more on target with practical things.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's my thing. And you know what? I said what I said in the beginning of the show as far as me undoing things and psyching myself out for a reason. And that reason is that Jane needed to hear that. Okay? Jane, honey. Just like Cindy said, it doesn't matter what you do, you are manifesting misery.
Okay.
So what you need to do is you have to understand that you are in control of your thoughts. It is okay to think, you know what, well, what if something bad happens? But in those instances, every time you think that, you need to get into the mind frame where you're going to say, oh, my God, what if I get sick? But immediately say, but what if I don't? Okay, and you need to go with the exact opposite. You also need to put yourself through a couple of exercises. And now I do these exercises regularly because I am like you, where I do stress out sometimes, and I do, you know, unfortunately, you know, undo certain things and manifest things that I don't want, you know, accidentally, you know, just out of worry.
Yeah.
So these are not anything. This is not anything that I have not done myself. I want you for an hour. Okay, work yourself up to an hour a day, then I want you to do 2 hours a day, and then I want you to aim for a full day where you completely talk to people, you interact with people, you go to and from work, you do whatever it is you have to do, and I want you to say not a single negative thing.
Okay.
Do not use the word no, do not use the word don't, okay? Do not don't use any of those words. If you want to put it out there that, you know what, I don't want to be in debt anymore, don't say it that way. I want you to I would like to pay my bills free and clear without worry.
Okay?
Okay. Because if you do that, okay, you're going to start to remove those negative words that can cause you to do that downward spiral. You're going to start removing those negative words from your daily vocabulary. And the less daily negative things that you say on a regular basis, the more positive you're going to be allowing into your life, which will in turn be your thoughts, and then you will start to manifest something good. But you have to be decisive. You have to be very, very decisive. So start out and do it in stages, because everything is process. We are all, you know, works of art in our own right, and we are all works in progress in our own right. So don't get on yourself if you say, shit, I messed up. I used a negative word. You know, that doesn't mean the end. So you start fresh right then and there. That's fine. You know?
I understand.
And you move it on as a progression. And then what I want you to think about is I want you to think about your big picture. Okay? I want you to think about, don't think about tomorrow. Okay? Forget about next week. Forget about next month. Forget about 6 months. I want you to picture yourself in 5 years. Okay?
I want you to picture the house that you want to be in. It doesn't matter. Yeah. I don't care if you're going to be 15 or if you're going to be 55 or if you're going to be 95 in 5 years. It doesn't matter how old you're going to be. Picture yourself there, okay? Picture an ideal setting. Maybe you're going to be in your house, you know, sitting on a deck, reading a book. Okay,
yeah.
Maybe you're going to be traveling. You know, just picture where you want to be in 5 years.
In an ideal
world.
And
after you get that picture crystal, crystal clear. Yeah, money is not, this is your imagination now. Money is no object, okay?
Yeah.
You don't have any of the ailments that you may have had in the past. You have none of the baggage with you that you may have now, okay? Just an ideal place for you in 5 years. And when you're done and you can visualize that picture and you see that picture ahead of you, just like when you're doing like the crosswords and you know when you go and you do crossword books, how sometimes they have the mazes? Sometimes it's better to find your way out of the maze if you start out at the end and you work your way backwards.
All right.
And you'll start
and the
out
laws of
at
attraction
the end.
Positive.
Yeah.
Positive.
And
again, you have to work on, you know, there's no this, there's no that, there's no... Every time you say, whatever you tell the universe, there's no good men, there's no good apartments, God says, well, why would you lie? I'm not giving you a good man, I'm not giving you a good apartment. I never say there's never that. And
well,
I
really looked back home. I had two horrible ones when, you know, in the
and again,
price
but you were
went.
Still in that negative mindset.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, you know, the door
is
open. Somehow you stumble across somebody who says, well, I have this, you know, fabulous apartment here. So, again, try to just understand that your negativity, your negative thoughts are influencing your reality. So if you're going back to New York, you're not going back saying, well, I'm going to have to go there and I'm going to be miserable. There's nowhere to live. And you make your decision to go back and you have to, and a little bit of stoicism, a little bit of like, okay, I'm back here. I've done it of my own free choice. I feel like this is an obligation I'm supposed to do. I want to do this job. And maybe do it, to the best of your ability. And you might be surprised if something opens up better for you. But the point is, work on the negativity. Because, again, you know, illness is always, negativity doesn't help our illnesses or anything else. Mm-hmm. And, again, if you made up your mind to go to New York, it looks like you'd be okay here. I mean, definitely, you'd be okay. I mean, just went to Florida, don't think, well, I made a mistake. I went to Florida. Not really. You're seeing your options in Florida. At least you're getting a little bit better.
You live and you learn. You live and you learn.
Yeah, I think I needed to come down here because I think I needed to explore.
Exactly.
And
you did it.
Well, do you know what else I think? Do you know why else you needed to go down there, Jane? I'll tell you right now why. Because you just learned the most valuable lesson by going there, okay? You were in New York. You were not happy.
Yeah.
And then I understand that you had some extenuating circumstances, okay, because I do remember your previous call. So I do know that it's not all, you know, Jane's being negative. No, it's not all that, okay? You did have some extenuating circumstances that were pretty rough, okay? So we're not going to say that some of your motives were not justifiable motives. But you learned something. Now you're unsure where you are now. You want to know why that is? Because you can move to Florida. You can move to California. You can move to Fiji. You're still bringing you with you. So as long as you're not changing you, you can change your location and your geography all you want.
Yeah.
That's just geography, Mama. You got to change you from the inside, and then from the inside, that's when you're going to start seeing changes on the outside.
Well, tomorrow's interview is going to be interesting because I'm not exactly sure, you know, it's really an exploratory interview.
Again,
see where it goes.
You know, just go with it, enjoy the interview, see what happens. If they offered you a fabulous position, you may not be going anywhere.
Exactly, And then if it seems like it's going to take a while, I think part of me feels obligated to that. You know which job I'm talking about, I really can't say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I feel obligated because I'm there, you know, I'm scheduled to work, and it's just... You know, something's telling me I feel obligated to do just one more semester and
I hope it's not your OCD guilt kicking in.
No,
here's something about obligation though. Okay, yes, people have obligations, but the bottom line there is that yes, you're on the schedule and this and that and everything else. I understand. Okay.
Right.
But okay.
Uh huh.
Just like extenuating circumstances happen to you.
Yeah.
Okay? You know, in your life, you know, from a third party to you or from a second party to you, okay, you being the first party.
Yeah.
Who's to say that you can't be somebody else's extenuating circumstance? Okay? Go for it.
interview, roll with it, okay? If, you know, if something happens or you decide, you know what, I really don't want to take it, but I feel obligated, therefore you're going to almost accept that guilt onto yourself. Don't accept that guilt onto yourself. You know what? This is business. It's a job for a reason. This is business.
Right.
And in business, there is no personal. There is no, oh, but what if they don't like me or what if they do this or what? No. Business is business.
Yeah.
If this is not the right business decision for your business, okay,
right.
being personal and every and throughout, then guess what? That means it's not the right decision for you. A company will not merge with another company if just because they're like, well, you know, we talked about this merger and, you know, I don't feel good about it, but now I'm obligated. Fortune 500 companies don't think that way. Why should you?
Right, but you call in and let us know what your decision is next week. But it looks from the cards, coming back to New York is something that looks good. You didn't waste your time there. You know what Florida is. You know your options. And
and I know I'm probably going to end up here.
Right, and just make a prayer that you get a nice space to, a nice place to stay. And if any of our listeners have a nice apartment, email me.
Yeah, there you go.
She needs one in like the sort of Oyster Bay, Huntington, maybe.
Nassau,
Oyster Bay would be nice. Nassau or Syosset, somewhere in that area.
Yeah.
You know, Melville, somewhere. Let's hop, skip, and a jump.
And it doesn't have to be permanent because, you know, I do like it down here. It's not like I don't like it. Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to try to get that other call, another caller before the show. Good luck. Be positive,
good luck,
Jane,
Jane,
because we just feel like good things for you.
Great.
Jane, do
you.
Your home, do the homework I gave you, Jane, because next time you call, if you didn't do that homework, I'm not putting you on the air.
I do that every day with the lottery, but it doesn't work.
just
that isn't
going to
let any of us get rich that way.
Right. All right. Have a great night, guys.
Bye.
Okay,
good night,
bye.
Guys.
Okay.
We've been hearing
a lot of talk about victim consciousness today, and I want to just stress something. What I've learned in 18 years of doing what I do for a living is that people's lives change when they give up victim consciousness, when they rise above the economy, they rise above anything. They say, you know, I can do that. I have to do this. Like, I'll give you an example. That guy that, I don't know if you heard it yesterday, but he was lost at sea. He fell off the boat in Montauk.
You know what? I read the paper today about it.
Okay, well, he's one of TJ's friends from Montauk. Montauk's a small place. Everybody knows each other.
Everybody knows everybody's business out there.
Now, he was very resilient. You know, he's trying to get something out of the cooler. He pulls it, the cooler breaks. Of course, everything's made in China. Why, I'm not surprised. He falls into the water. Everybody's sleeping. Nobody hears him. And for more hours than they thought, because he fell at 3:30 in the morning, and they thought did it at 6:30 or 9. That's why they couldn't find him, the Coast Guard, because he was drifting very fast. They found him like 38 miles off of Montauk in Massachusetts. And what he did was he didn't have a life preserver, but he took his boots off and he used them as a float, and he said, I can do this. You know, he thought of his girlfriend, he thought of his nephew and his family, and he said, I can do this. I can do this. And because he didn't say, oh, my God, a panic, I fell, what bad luck, he just said, I can do this. I can stay afloat.
Exactly.
You know? And I got these boots, and they're pretty good, and they're keeping me afloat. So think about it. If he could survive in the ocean, there were sharks around him, and there were birds pecking at him, but his will to get back and his will to be found and his will to survive and was really strong. So that's why we all, sometimes they're out in the ocean all by ourselves. That's what we feel like. But do you have a pair of rubber boots? Do you have something you can, you know, make your own little life preserver? Can you do something? And your will, your positive will that you can do it. Not what can't be. No, I can't find an apartment. No, I can't move out. No, I can't get a job. I'm 53. And I don't want to hear anybody say their age anymore. I don't want to hear that anymore. It's not the world where people live to be 70.
We're
living to be 100. 50 is young. And you know, not saying now it's over, I'm too old, I'm too this. None of those things. You know, people accomplish great things. Anybody who watched the documentary Sugar Man, where Rodriguez was, you know, a big hit in South Africa, and nobody knew who he was as a musician. And now at 70, he's touring all around the world.
I saw that the other day, too.
Right, and he's 70 years old. So people
yeah.
have to stop saying, I can't, it's too late, I missed my boat. Yeah, that guy fell in order. He missed his boat, all right, but he found another boat. He floated his own boat, and
yep.
I think we should all
use that. And another boat came along, so.
Now me, if I'm in the water, I'm swimming. I won't put, you know, I could swim for an hour as long as I could touch the bottom. As soon as I know it's over the head, I'm drowning in 2 seconds. Now, my mindset is, well, oh, it's over my head. You know, sometimes we're just in that mindset, I'm over my head, I can't do it, and then we drown. As opposed
yep.
to just keep, you know, keep yourself moving, keep yourself positive. Well, we want to do that one caller. I think she's in Florida also. Do we have another Florida caller today?
Yes, yes, there's another Florida caller. And her name is actually Cindy as well, Cindy.
Wow.
So basically she has got like a little bit of like a mixed question.
Sure.
She wants to know what is in her current situation. She is currently, I believe she said, on a horse farm.
Ooh.
And she's supposed to be merging with another partner, and she wants to know if that other partner is genuine. And whether or not this whole deal goes through, she may need some relocation. So she wants to know what exactly is going on in her horizons as far as, you know, this merger or as far as possibly relocating her life. So let's go to Cindy in Florida. Hello,
Cindy.
You're on here.
Hi,
Cindy.
Good question.
How are you?
Good. Every card I'm picking has a horse on it because, I don't know, I use the Rider Waite. We've got the knight on the horse. We've got a man on a horse. The partnership actually looks very good, by the way.
Okay. Awesome.
And
oh,
money looks very lucrative.
Okay.
The thing of it is that you have to just make sure you dot your I's, maintain your papers, and it's all done legally. Have you talked about the legal aspects of it yet?
We haven't, but I know with all his other partners that he's done the same thing with, they set up a whole, you know, LLC corporation, everything.
Exactly.
Handled
exactly.
by the bookkeeper, all the receipts, all the billing, everything's done, you know.
That's what I think it looks very lucrative to you, for you,
mm-hmm.
and that, you know, just as long as you do all the legal aspects of it, and, you know, it looks very, very good. I mean, you have, it's out of 8 cards, I got 8 positive cards and 2 with horses, which I think is a riot because it's about
awesome.
8 cards out of 80 with horses. So I think it's kind of funny that they
nice.
Came up. The judgment looks very good on it. It looks like you're going to love what you're doing and the money will be good. It's also a year of, you know, pretty peaceful and joyful. When is your birthday, by the way?
April 28th.
Okay, because by the time you hit your birthday, you're supposed to really kind of have everything underway and moving forward. There is really no negatives on this. The partner looks like really wanting to do this. And, you know, again, the sooner you can sort of get all the logistics down, the better for you.
Okay.
In terms of your love life, I'm not seeing too much going on. What's going on there?
Well, I've just kind of put it on hold. I left
okay,
a relationship.
Okay, that's what it looks like
about,
here.
Yeah, I put it on about 4 months ago. I left a relationship that was long-term, on and off. You know, I had given an old relationship a new chance, and that was a mistake. I won't say it's a mistake. It was a stepping stone.
I like what you said.
Can
we repeat that? An old relationship, a new chance, and it was
a
mistake. Okay, thank you.
Yes, but in reality, it was more like a stepping stone to get me in this new location where I ran into this person who I knew from 20 years ago who now wants to partner with me financially in the horse business, which is what I do, and it's very lucrative what he does. He does it at a much higher level with more expensive horses than what I have been able to do in the past. He's the financial backing for the business, and then I would be the hands-on doing the work.
Right, and that's why it looks very promising. It also looks like it's going to lead you to that new relationship, by the way. So this is really your year. You had to close the door on, you know, important thing is when you close the door sort of on your old relationship is when new doors are opening. So
right.
it's important that we close doors.
Okay.
And that's what even with our caller before, if you don't close a door in one space, and the universe doesn't know how to help us. So now that you've made your mind up that you want to move forward and the money looks very nice, love looks in the cards, you actually have very good cards. I have to tell you, everything you're doing is bringing you to this positive spot. The courage that you're manifesting, the belief in yourself. I mean, it looks like you had a real shift in thinking in the last year.
Yes.
So, and again, did you stop playing victim, like to the man, to the bad relationship?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And that's, nothing is going to change until we stop playing victim.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I moved out. I had moved in, was living with him, and he just really tried to keep me from working. You know, my business was, again, horse-related. I had to do it from the property, and because I let him talk me into moving in with him, I had to be able to work from his property, which is where I was at. And he had assured me I could. Then I got there. He wouldn't let me, blah, 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 you know.
Now, we were talking
old
about
history now. So I left that because I couldn't work. I couldn't make a living. I couldn't move forward. I was just being treated like shit. And I said, enough. But, you know, that was.
And this is what we were talking about with our first caller, that she's living with a man who's abusive.
It sounded
because she can't make
her,
any
it
money.
Like, it sounded like you were describing the guy I was with. I almost asked her. His name was Larry.
And now, can you see how it all comes full circle in our hour? Until she can support herself, she's going to be with men who are going to be abusive because it seems to go with the territory and that, you know, you gave up your career in something that he told you one thing and didn't come through with it. And that's why, if you noticed, I said with the other partner, you have to make sure it's in writing. Because what people tell us, that you should have learned from your ex, if somebody doesn't put it in writing that says, okay, you come here and this is going to be your business, this is a legal binding contract, you're coming here, don't do anything. So make sure with this man, it's all legal, and everything's in writing, because people will tell us one thing and do another. And
right.
that's a hard lesson.
That's why I was actually, we don't have it in writing yet, but I was looking to see what you saw as genuineness, as
a genuine and lucrative,
moving forward,
and lucrative and good money for you, a peaceful year, a love-filled year. I don't see your ex out of the picture entirely, which means he may try to contact you and tell everything you want to hear.
He contacts me from time to time.
Okay.
He lives in the same town, so but he knows he hasn't got a chance at all. You know,
good.
He hasn't even.
No,
I hear from him. And
well, he's trying to catch you on a moment of weakness. That's what he's going to do. You know what I mean? Maybe, you know, you'll just forget. You know, older souls and good people tend to they're so busy. They're so busy working. They're so exhausted that half the time they can't remember half of what people do. So they always wait to get us on the moment we're not really thinking or we're having a bad moment to sort of wheedle their way back in.
Yeah.
So, don't let that happen.
I have a question about the move, the residential move. When I left that relationship, I bumped into this other person, actually, that I'm going to be partnering with, and he had some empty apartments on his horse farm. So I was initially looking for a property so I could leave the old situation. That's how I bumped back into this other person.
Wow.
That I hadn't seen in, you know, many, many years, but I had worked with him before in the horse business and done some work for him.
That's what you called, you know, it's
serendipitous. It was divine intervention.
Kismet. And, you know, that's why if anybody who's been listening to the entire show could hear what happened here, she closed her door on a man who wasn't of his word, who wasn't who she thought. She found something else, and the doors are opening because you're closing the other and you're moving forward. So that's what your cards are, really a person who's right about to have everything she wants. But again, it's because you've made the decision. That's the most important thing. We have to make the decision that we're ready for change. And we have to give up the fact that it's because mommy did this, daddy did this, my lover did this, the economy is doing this. Get rid of all that thinking. It doesn't matter what the rest of the world is doing.
Start claiming what you want.
Exactly. And, you know, I think that, you know, I'm a living testament to that. And everything that I preach and talk about is stuff that I've learned the hard way. I'm just trying to make people's lives get faster to where it took me forever to get to.
Right.
Me too, Cindy.
Me too.
I'm trying to save people a decade or two.
in hell.
On,
you know?
on the residential move part of it, I do know that I am, this is temporary, this little apartment I'm in, on this person's horse farm. And I have to find a new location by like the end of August. Do you see me moving or that situation changing? Because they own multiple farms and another farm, you know, sold. So those horses from that farm have to come to this farm. So I have to move because my horses are
taking up the paddock.
Well,
it looks like you're gonna, you'll make a move, so don't worry about it. You know, just, you know, try to find where you'll be going. But, you know, again, doors will open. You know,
okay.
Just,
well, that's what I was wondering because I know that's coming up. Again, financially, I'm like the other lady. I don't have the finances to go get into a new place. And the money coming from this partnership won't pay out until next year, next spring.
Well, figure out if you can beg, borrow, or steal somebody else who has a place that has horses that maybe need caring for too, whatever you can do. Try to figure out what you can do with your skills to maybe get yourself a nice place to live in.
Okay.
So, you know, you can manifest that too. But all of, you know, again, the living looks okay here. It looks like you're going to turn out okay no matter what. So I'm not worried about you.
Okay.
Well, anyway, we are at the end of our show. Nicole, do you have a shout out,
thank you, my dear?
You're welcome, and thank you for calling, and let us know what
happened. Thank you, Cindy.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
Bye. Now, we seem to have had a very theme here in the show today. Did you notice?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Did you notice that I set the tone for this scene in the very beginning of the show?
Yes, you did, my dear. So you manifested the show.
I did manifest the show. I set the entire tone because I was like, as I was thinking about it, you know, I mean, I was talking to Lisa, obviously, and, you know, I was thinking about, I'm like, you know what, I'm like, I just, we have to get to the next place, and I need to know how to get to the next place, and I was getting frustrated, I was getting angry, I was cranky, and then I was like, I'm doing this to myself. And I just stopped dead in my tracks. I'm like, I'm doing it again. I'm doing this to myself. It's like, who am I going to be mad at? Me.
And negativity is a habit, just like everything else. And once
it's a very hard habit to break.
But once you do it, it's almost impossible to fall back into it. I find it very, very hard for me to ever be negative now. It's almost like it just doesn't happen. So, I mean, believe me, I remember being in victim consciousness, negative talking, negative, negative, negative forever, and boy, nothing ever changed.
See, well, you know my whole story, Cindy. I'm the queen of giving advice to others and never taking it myself.
Well, that seems to be,
you know,
the world.
I think it's a little bit more with me because, unfortunately, the world, a lot of people, but the world have not had you guiding them for the last 4 years where I keep going back over and going, fuck, I love this
years,
the
it's
first
7 year.
Years,
I think. I think it's 7 years, I think.
Well, how long have we been doing the show? Because I know that we knew each other way before the show, you know? But, I mean, yeah, I mean, we've known each other for a very long time here, Cindy. And it's like, and every time I do it, I'm like, I just go, shit. I learned that in year one. Shit, that was year three. Shit, that was last week. You know, I mean, I go on and on. But, you know, I mean, I'm very, very fortunate to have you, as are our listeners. And you know what? My shout-out, you are the queen of this. So my shout-out is to you, my dear. You've done a wonderful job yet again.
Thank you so much, and we'll all speak next week.
Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.